boy, are we happy. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be with you, Barry. Been a long and active weekend, and it's good to be back in the studio.
Yeah, it has been a very long and active weekend. And for our listeners, if you're not sure what we're talking about, that means that you probably weren't listening for the last few weeks, as we were talking about the Institute for Principled Policy Spring Conference, which was held last Friday and Saturday at Grace Orthodox Presbyterian Church, called Semper Reformanda, Engaging the World for Christ. We had a great couple of days, and we had some really encouraging messages from our guest speaker, Pastor Joseph Moorcraft of Chalcedon Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. Now, if you've never heard Dr. Moorcraft before, I strongly encourage you, after the program, to go online and go to sermonaudio.com and type in Joe Moorcraft's name in the pastoral search, and listen to some of his sermons and some of his broadcasts. They're absolutely fantastic. There's a lot of them on there. But we had the privilege and the honor to be able to have him live and in person for our conference this weekend. And he brought four fairly lengthy and encouraging, optimistic, biblically faithful, and biblically centered messages about why we as Christians are the salt and light, are the leaders, and should be taking the culture for Christ. And Chuck, you and I kind of live in that kind of wheelhouse, I guess, philosophically and theologically, but it was great to hear that. And for the folks who came and participated in that, they got to hear some real solid history of the church, history of the world, and how all of these things are unfolding and continue to unfold specifically according to God's plan. And we should be encouraged and happy and ecstatically looking forward to more of the unfolding of God's plan.
Well, let me tell you, Barry, it's very humbling to be around Joe Moorcraft, who himself is a very humble individual.
Yes, he is.
The man is an absolute repository of theological, historical, philosophical knowledge. And he uses that knowledge in a very humble way to ask very probing questions. And let me tell you, as much as you think you know about a subject, and this is the reason why I don't let people call me an expert in anything. I'm a teacher. I'm not an expert. Because Dr. Moorcraft asked me a couple questions where I was sort of like, well, I never thought about it at that depth. I'll have to go back and rethink that. And then he would immediately come out and say, read this book, read this book, read this book, read this book. And it was a very humbling, yet very educational and very enlightening time to speak with him.
Well, you know something, Chuck, you mentioned that usually when we have somebody and we're talking to them and a guest speaker or somebody from camp and they start referencing books, I'm usually the one saying, yeah, I've read that. Yeah, I've got a copy of that. Yeah, that's a good book. Dr. Moorcraft was throwing book titles out there. I'm like, I've never heard of that. Where can I get one? It was really kind of a unique experience to have somebody who's depth in these areas, both theology and history, and how deeply read he was. And this was just fantastic. But Chuck, I think the big thing that I came away with from our conference was the fact that there are many people in the Christian community today who, even though we profess our hope in Jesus Christ and in his authority, operationally are having difficulty believing that, because we're looking around and seeing everything that's going on, looking at the world situation today and the economy and the lack of leadership in our elected officials, and sometimes the out-and-out machinations and underhandedness of so many other of our officials, which we're going to be talking more about that later this week. And we have people who really have started losing hope. And that hope is not just losing hope in the institutions and people, but possibly just losing hope in the truth of the whole counsel of God's word. And it's more than a little shocking seeing that or hearing that or feeling that from people who, well, I don't want to say it, they ought to know better, but that who should be very much looking forward with hope and with optimism and joy and positivity of the events that unfold in history from this point forward, because we do know who's in control, we know who's sovereign, and we know that God does not leave anything to chance. That all works together in his perfect plan, even all the situations we have right now, which honestly, I think we lose historical perspective. We're really no different than many believers during the age of the Reformation. We're really no different than the situation of many believers in the early church. And we're certainly very little different than the Israelites of the Old Testament in many ways.
Well, that's absolutely true. My church is going through a study in our morning Sunday school of the book of Judges. Now, we're doing a very light, it's heavy, but it's lighter than you could get into in the Judges. And you're right. What we see, if we look very closely at the Judges, is very much like what is happening in our nation right now. We're in a period where the church is apostatizing. It's involved in, big word here, syncretism. And syncretism just simply means that you take all kinds of pagan and actually non-Christian practices and you mix it into the Christian church and you try to say that that is then a new form of Christianity. And what you get really is a kind of a paganized mess of, it's just a worship mess, it's a prayer mess, it's a relationship with God mess, because God cannot accept worship and prayer and church activity that is not pleasing to him, and he tells us what's pleasing to him. And of course, this is part of what Dr. Moorcraft talked about. Actually, he covered so many subjects that we would spend the whole week talking about the talks that he gave, which basically, by the way, we're going to make available. I have all the audios of the main sessions. We had breakout sessions, but we couldn't record those. So I'm going to have audios and videos. Now, the videos aren't going to be very exciting. It's Dr. Moorcraft speaking, which you can watch on your TV, which, again, there's no PowerPoints, nothing like that. It's simply Dr. Moorcraft speaking. But you're going to be able to get the audios available that you can listen to in your car or while you're working around the house and that kind of thing. But let me tell you something. You have to actively listen to these things to get the full brunt of them. They will be available, and it will be soon, because it's not going to take me that long to cut them into something usable. But Barry, these things were very impactful.
Absolutely.
The depth of what he gave. And I can tell you that my wife came for the second day. She couldn't come the first day, and it was Friday, and she has work to do. So she came the second day, and I sat there and watched her as she got tears in her eyes listening to Dr. Moorcraft talk. They were tears of conviction and tears of just understanding that the things that she thought she understood, she didn't understand as well as she thought she did. So that's the kind of impact that
I heard. When he explains it, there were certain things in the book of Isaiah that he was explaining, and I'm sitting there like, well, that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah, exactly. There were people, we had a question and answer session, which we didn't record again. We just didn't have the resources to do it. Plus, I was on the panel, and I was also the audiovisual man. So when the cameraman, sound man, the guy who sets up the PowerPoint projectors is actually sitting on the panel, it's a little difficult to record it at the same time. We had a question and answer session in which some very astute and very deep questions were asked. And we actually had people in the audience who were very emotional in realizing that the impact that they would have if they were going to implement the things that were being talked about in Dr. Moorcraft's action plan and his speeches. It became clear that the people in the audience were touched by what they'd heard and saw.
Well, and so for those of you who weren't able to join us for this weekend, and we're sorry that you couldn't, we will have available soon the DVD of the messages. We just simply didn't have enough cameras and microphones, all the main floor talks, and we will have those available for you later on our website. So of the things that we talked about this week, I was encouraged because we're planning on launching an effort we are calling the Amos 515 Net. And basically what that is going to be, those who are optimistic or want to be optimistic about our engagement in the culture as Christians, as believers, and who want to have a deeper engagement at all levels, whether it be in family issues or economics or education, or whether it be in civil government, and maybe it's being a candidate as well, we're going to provide a clearinghouse and a networking opportunity for together who are going to be looking at it less from the which party is better position and more from the what does God's word say about it and how can I be faithful to it and who are those who the faithful brothers that are going to be coming and lifting up the arms while the battle is going on. Because that's really what we need to do. Amos 5:15 is the verse in the Old Testament, the prophets, that says to hate the evil and to love the good and establish judgment. And the gate is the seat of where everything happens. That was where judged. Obviously, the gates were where people came into the city and out of the city, where commerce was conducted. That was the entry into the culture or to the kingdom. And so that's where they were going to have that impact for Christ, is to establish judgment or in the gates.
We were covering a facet of civil involvement. But one of the main things, and one of the things we always get accused of is all you guys ever talk about is politics. Well, let me tell you, did we talk about civil engagement? Yes. Did we talk about politics? Well, only from the extent that we actually did our best to eschew politics. In other words, we were equally disparaging, and Dr. Moorcraft was equally disparaging of both the Republican and Democratic parties. In fact, what we were basically talking about is that party politics is one of the banes of good, solid policy creation. That the party apparatuses actually get in the way rather than enhance what's going on with policy making, and in fact, we were critical of both Republicans and Democrats. Now, what I was struck with, and I was very glad came out, was how often we talked about the fact that none of this will work. The idea that Christians should go out there and force their viewpoint on an unwilling society, Dr. Moorcraft kind of laughed about, as we've laughed about on this program, it can't be done. Barry, you cannot force these things on a culture that does not want it. So the bottom line is that you actually have to get people, go out and evangelize and do what Jesus said in Matthew 28, go forth throughout the world, making disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey what I have commanded. Once you understand it from that perspective, then suddenly you understand what it is we're trying to do. We're trying to maintain a foothold while we win people to Christ so that they understand that they're supposed to go out and do all the things that he has commanded. And while they learn the things that he has commanded and how to implement them, we're trying to maintain our foothold and maintain our position on policymaking.
Well, Chuck, what it really gets right down to is that the way you look at how you think things are going to turn out in the end, in other words, your view of the future, impacts how you're going to act today. I think that was a major theme of what Dr. Moorcraft was talking about, and that we as believers have to be optimistic because we know how it turns out. We've read the book. We know that he wins. We know that God is not going to be mocked, nor is he going to be thwarted in his perfect plan, and it is going to carry out and unfold all the way into the end of the age. And that means that we should be the most optimistic, the most hopeful, and the most well-prepared as believers in Christ. If we are professing Christ and confessing him as well, confessing who he is in Scripture and what he says about himself, especially that great commission where he says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth, then we can't hope but to be happy and optimistic no matter who's in office. I heard another talk by Dr. Moorcraft where he said that Christ sits on the circle of the earth. In other words, he encompasses the earth, and that Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are grasshoppers. And I think that's absolutely true. In the overall absolute scheme of things, Christ is king. He is sovereign. And we should be acting like it instead of cowering and worrying about what a grasshopper might do unto us.
Beautiful way to end the show. With that being said, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.